For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, December the 26th, 1977. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Ground, Midwinter Camp Meeting. Ferris Miller is the speaker of the evening. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return to Post Office Box 516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71901 for replacement.
Glory to God. God is good. I tell you, the Bible tells us that we're living in perilous times, and I believe it. But I believe it's some of the most exciting times that we have ever viewed. Do any of you know a later day than this? This must be the last day. Amen? Glory to God. I remember those days, you know, when I thought the rapture was going to happen and that eastern sky would split open and bless God, we'd all go flying out of here. And then when I got to reading my Bible and find out that we're got to be equipped and we're going to do battle with the Antichrist, I thought we'd better start getting busy and getting down here and getting that armor on. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. I look, you know, and I look all around. I remember, you know, I speak to people in these different areas of the country and in different places on this earth. And I really truly believe that that old Babylon, that great old whore that in those harlot daughters, is going to be destroyed. I believe she's going to come to an end in herself. Hallelujah. And we are going to reign supremely here upon the face of this earth. You know, God's just about ready to manifest some sons.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'll tell you, some places when I mention that, they all start shriveling up right there. But it tells us that all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I believe that in this day in which that we're living right now, we're beginning to see a shaping up. And we're beginning to see a falling away. And I praise God for it. Because whatever is not of God, let it fall quickly. Glory to God. God is going to have a church without spot. He's going to have a church without wrinkle. And He's beginning to take those demons out of the people. And He's beginning to let them go into the people that will accept them. Now, I'll tell you, we deal either with the flesh or with demons. We definitely do. I have one party that says it's all flesh and another says that it's all demons. Now, I'll tell you right now that I believe that in the preaching of the cross, that both of them can be active. And there can be deliverance in both places. If it's flesh, it's got to be put to the cross. If it's a demon, it's got to be cast out. Glory to God. And God is doing a mighty work in these last days. I praise God for it. I remember years ago coming into deliverance. I came into it in kind of a funny and strange way. And most of the people that I was associated with at that particular time are no longer associated with deliverance ministry. You know why? It's hard. It's hard. It's one of the toughest ministries that there is upon the face of this earth. It's one of the toughest. Because people don't want to face up to it. They don't want to get involved in it. They don't want to, you know, get their hands dirty. I like what Brother Woody said this morning. You know, the pumping of septic tanks is a dirty job. But somebody's got to do it. Now, he wasn't speaking well of us when he called us septic tanks. But I'm sure that's what he was referring to. Glory to God. He's back there shouting silently. God's doing a mighty work. He's doing a mighty work. I remember years ago sitting at Taylor University in the Ayers Memorial Library, downstairs in the stacks, and I drew out an old, old book. I can't even remember what the name of that book was, but all I do know is I remember this. That it talked about some dispensations. It was a dispensational book, and it talked about the age of innocence, talked about the age of conscience, it talked about the age of human government, it talked about the age of promise, it talked about the age of law, and it talked about the age of grace and truth. Now, I've read articles that have been written by charismatics and Pentecostal people since that time that have incorporated that teaching into their teaching and into their messages and into their writings. And I thought about those teachings, and I praise the Lord for that, because I know that in each one of these things, I can remember as I sat in the stack, that in each one of these things, it spoke to me, and it spoke to me loud and clear. Because it seems as though that every one of us go through that, the various stages in our lives. There was a time when that we were innocent. But it's probably one of the most dangerous areas that we can ever be in. Isn't that true? I can remember the time when it was before that I had ever kissed a girl. I was innocent. And then I became guilty. And I tasted of good and evil. And I became conscious of that fact. But I thought, you know, as I read those articles and began to look at on them and view down into them, I began to think within myself, praise be unto God. It seems as though that the natural man receiveth not the things that be of God, but the spiritual man, he judges these things by the Spirit. It seems as though that God in this last day is doing a tremendous work. He is bringing forth a body that is going to be a bridegroom company. Hallelujah. We are going to be in the completeness of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We are going to come forth in His fullness and in His power. And I believe that up the last days upon the face of this earth, that there is going to be an outpouring of the fullness of the Spirit of God such as we have never viewed as yet. I believe that there is going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon people who are hungering and thirsting for the Holy Spirit, to where that we are going to go through the fiery furnaces of trial here upon the face of this earth, but we're going to go through as more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. We are going to be manifested here upon the face of this earth, the last part of the body of Jesus Christ, to be completed here upon the face of this earth. We will be the last part of that body, the feet company, that is going to fulfill Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. Hallelujah. Now, the reason that I say that is this. That there are people today that are claiming that they are the manifested sons of God. Well, if you're saying that by faith, I praise God for it. But if you're saying that as a reality, you're in presumption. Because when the Antichrist is manifested, that's when the sons of God shall be manifested here upon the face of this earth. We shall come forth in power for a 3.5-year ministry that will parallel the 3.5-year ministry that Jesus Christ had when He walked the face of this earth. The greater works and the greater things are going to be accomplished in that foot company here upon the face of this earth. Praise be unto God. And there's going to be a last part of this dispensation of which we call grace and truth, which has come by Jesus Christ, that is going to fill that old water pot clear to the brim. And there is going to be a purified company that comes forth in the fullness of Jesus Christ, to where that there will be a voice that will speak in oneness. And we won't need the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to be giving us the instructions to perfect us into the place of where that we come to the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. But we shall be one in the Lord, going forth as a mighty conquering army on the face of this earth. Now the reason I'm saying what I am right at this present time is this. Is that because I don't know of anybody that is hitting it accurate every time in their ministry. Jesus Christ never missed one thing in His ministry. Never. There was never an error. There was never a time when that He gave an utterance that utterance wasn't fulfilled in completion. He was always doing the will of His Heavenly Father. And there are people today saying that they are always doing the will of their Heavenly Father, but I doubt it. I believe there are times when that we are missing the will of our Heavenly Father. But God is going to bring us to a completion in Jesus Christ. And He's got ways and means of doing that. He allows certain circumstances and certain things to come around us to put us into a position of where that He can work upon us as He wants to work upon us as we let Him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, it talks about the last days. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust or their own desires, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, that one day of the Lord, which is 1,000 years long in the eyes of the Lord, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I believe that's coming. Praise be unto God. I believe that that is coming. But you know, I believe that we are somehow or another that we can relate some of these things back into the Old Testament, of where that we know that God, when in the beginning, said that let us make man in our image. I used to think that God was making Adam and Eve, and that was the man that he was talking about. But I truly believe within my heart that the completion of that man is being made right today. Because that first man lived in an age of innocence. That's all that he knew. And he also experienced consciousness because he was conscious of the fact that he had rebelled against God. But he never came into the place of where that he experienced human government. That was something that came in the days of Noah. He never experienced, and Noah never experienced, anything that had to do with promise. That came in the days of Abraham. And Abraham never experienced anything that had to do with law. That came in the day of Moses. And Moses never experienced anything that came through grace and truth. That came in the day of Jesus Christ. But all of these things are things that God has used and measure that he has made for the purification of those that have been circumcised in their hearts. Those who have had a heart and a conscience toward God, of where that they truly and actually wanted to be everything that God would have them to be. So we have in the scriptures that on the sixth day, the Lord made man. And after he got all done with all of the creation, he said, it was very good. It was very good. But man fell. And somehow or another, we take that parallel, and I know that those 6 days that they talked about in the beginning of Genesis, that many say, well, those were just 1,000-year days, or they were 24-hour days. I don't know how many hours were in that day. I don't know how many years were in that day. I don't know anything about it. God chose not to tell me. But I do know this, that it says on the sixth day he made man. On the sixth day. Well, it's been 6,000 years since that was uttered. And a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Praise be unto God. So it seems to me that we look in this last day, and the Lord is kind of coming to a finish. He's coming to a close. He's coming to a completion in the body of Jesus Christ. I looked, you know, for a great and mighty revival. I'll tell you, I really did look for a great and mighty revival. But I didn't know how God operates until I began to look down into his scriptures, and I find out that he doesn't always operate according to the way that man thinks. He usually operates the way that he thinks, and the way that he wants to. And lo and behold, he sometimes does things with the few rather than with the many. And don't you think that God is trying to build something that is not quantitative, but more quality in this day and in this age? That he is coming up here with a company of people in these very last days that can be trusted in all things. Because they will not reject anything that God has for them. They will not reject it. And there is a time, in this time in which that we are living, we're coming in this time of when that there is a great honesty. There's a great honesty amongst God's people. You know, I look upon people and I think within myself, we wouldn't have dared years ago to tell the things that were wrong with us right out in the open in the church like we do today. But we do admit it. Now, it's a humbling thing. You know, to tell someone after you've been in the ministry for 15, 16 years, all of a sudden you need deliverance. That's usually the separation. That's the line of demarcation. God uses that. God uses that. And he's been using that for 2,000 years. He's been using that means. Praise be unto God. I thought at one time, you know, that when we entered into this experience with the Lord, that praise be unto God, this born-again experience, this was all that was necessary. And then I was confronted, you know, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I found out that in that baptism of the Holy Spirit, every time I took a step onward with God, I lost half of my friends, and sometimes even more than that. And I was doing wonderful in the charismatic movement, and the church was growing by leaps and bounds. And here we had this tremendous congregation, about 500 people crowding into this little church. And here they were just storming that altar, coming up there. Then I got into deliverance. Then little church. You crying or laughing, brother? But the truths of God are not readily accepted. You know, we would rather play the game. We would rather go along with the crowd, you know, and the hypocrisy and all the rest of the things that go with that. But when we lay our heads down on our pillows at night, we can't escape our conscience. I can't escape that. You can't escape that. We got our conscience to contend with. And I know that in the honesty of our experience and our walk with the Lord, that if we're going to be honest with God, then there's got to be something that happens within our experience along the way that is going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise be unto God. I want to be upright with God and let Him be downright with me so I can be outright with you. Why should, when I talk to you, why should I have to talk across your shoulder? Why can't I look you right square in the eye and talk to you as a brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I believe that God is coming down to a close in this last 6,000 years. He's coming down to a completion. He's bringing this man to completion. This man, Jesus Christ. Oh, I had a hope within me. You know, I used to cry out, you know, that heavenly Jerusalem that is coming down, that bride that is adorned for the Lamb. I used to praise God for that. But you know, really, my hope is to be like Jesus. I want to walk this earth like Jesus Christ walked this earth. I want to have somehow a relationship and a spirit with the Lord God Almighty, my Father, just like Jesus Christ had. I want to hear from Him just like He heard from God. I want to pray like He prayed prayers. I want to see the same demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power that I saw in Jesus Christ. We're beginning to see bits and spatterings of this along the way. We're beginning to see a whole ministry come forth. Just like Jesus Christ walking on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. That was 2,000 years ago the head of this body got born. Amen. That baby's been coming a long time, hasn't it? It's really not a baby. They call it a man-child. How'd you like to have a baby 2,000 years old? But that baby's been coming. And that man-child has been coming for 2,000 years. And I'll tell you, there's a whole host of spirits of just men made perfect up in heavenly places. That heavenly Jerusalem, that Mount Zion, that church of the firstborn, the spirits of just men made perfect, an innumerable company of angels, all up there in the unseen. And what are they waiting for? Why, they're waiting for us. They're waiting for us to come. They're waiting for us. They're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. They're waiting today for a manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation is doing that very same thing. Waiting for that manifestation of the sons of God. And brother, sister, it's right on the horizon. It's right on the horizon right now. That old whore, that Roman Catholic Church, and her harlot daughters, every one of the Protestant churches that have been spewed out of her. You say, whoops, wait a minute, brother. Back up and say that again. I said every Protestant denomination that came out of that Roman Catholic Church, and you can't say there hasn't been, all of them that are in it, they came from it. And those were those harlot daughters. Brother, sister, there's going to be a Holocaust on the face of this earth, such as you have never seen before in your whole life. God's word says, come out of her. Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive you. Glory to God. Now people shout that and they say, oh, Brother Miller, that's too strong. We Presbyterians and we Episcopalians and we Catholics. Yeah, I said, that's what's wrong. I said, you've got to have that thing, that tag upon you. You have to say, I'm this or I'm that. You see, I came into this thing in the day when they threw you out. Brother, sister, there wasn't any ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got excommunicated. See, some of you have had the left foot of fellowship. But in this day in which we are living, we've got this easy type of goism. Just stay right there in your little old rocking chair in that pew and go along with all of that stuff and rock a bye baby with the charismatics on Tuesday night. But you see, God is going to have a people unto Himself. He is going to bring out a people unto himself. Glory to God. And they are a people that are going to stand fast in the things of the Lord. Glory to God. The religious system in Jesus' day took care of the head. And the religious system in this end day shall take care of his feet. Same spirit, different people. Here we are down here in these end days, in the last days of grace and truth. Grace and truth. For 2,000 years now, for 2,000 years, we have been proclaiming Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, those things seem so far and so distant to me. 2,000 years seem so far off. You know, it's so abstract to talk about the Christ way over there. It used to be like that. But now, today, it isn't like that at all. Somehow or another, I'm seeing Christ everywhere. And I'm seeing him come forth in a mighty army here upon the face of this earth. I remember one day we were standing in a meeting and I heard a prophecy come forth. And in the prophecy says, thus saith the Lord. This is not a parade ground dress. This is the war. You put ye on the armor of God, but you're walking past the grandstand in a fine array in all your denominational systems. But come ye out of those things and go into the front line and get some dents in your armor. Whew! Glory to God. Some have got dents in their armor. That's right. Hallelujah. So here we are in this day. 1,000 years of the Lord is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. Turn to John, the second chapter. But look at this system. In John, the second chapter, it says the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. What day? The third day. Aren't you looking for a marriage? Aren't you looking for a marriage? Glory to God. It says, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what have I had to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. And his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith, do it. And there were there set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. How many water pots? 6 water pots. 6 water pots. That day of conscience, or that day of innocence, that day of conscience, that day of human government, that day of promise, that day of law, and that day in which that we are living now in the last water pot. Grace and truth to the glory of God. Brother, sister, 2 days have gone past. 2,000 years have gone past. The third day there is going to be a marriage. Glory to God. You say, well, what the world has been going on during this time, Brother Miller? I'll tell you what's been going on during this time. Just what Jesus spoke in Luke, the 13th chapter, if you'd look. And that's why I joined myself to these ministers. In Luke, the 13th chapter, in verse 31, the same day came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart thee hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he saith unto them, go ye and tell that fox. He wasn't nice at all. He says, you go tell that fox. He says, behold, I cast out demons and I do cures. How many days is he going to do that? Today and tomorrow. What's going to happen the third day? He is going to be perfected. Glory to God. That's why I know that I'm in the right company. I'm around people that are casting out demons and doing cures today and tomorrow. But I'll tell you that the today has been gone and the tomorrow is here. And the end of the tomorrow is right here upon us at this present time. And the Lord is doing a precious work among his people. He's bringing us to a completion in Jesus Christ himself. We're coming to the fullness of that stature of that complete and perfect man, Jesus Christ, as it speaks about in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. We've almost grown up. But we haven't had the fire turned on us yet. There's a few that have. Brother Worley gets it. You know, he writes those books. That's why I stay away from that. And Brother McCarroll stays away from it. And some of your other brothers wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. But there are a few, they get, and they feel these fires. They feel these purifying fires come. And listen, brother, sister, if you join up with this Jesus crowd that has been casting out demons and doing cures today and tomorrow, you're going to find yourself in His company. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what's happening to us today? What's happening to us? We are accepting the truths of God's Word. We are beginning to be purged. We're beginning to be purified. And we're coming to a place of where that what John saw on the island of Patmos. I've often looked at that in that first chapter as he looked at Jesus Christ there standing there that day. And I often wonder, well, what the world did John pass out for? Well, I'll tell you, I believe I'd have passed out too if I had seen what he had seen. Here he looked upon this Jesus that he had association with for 3.5 years. And all at once there he was with hair like wool, eyes like fire, and his countenance like the lightning itself. And he was had on a long flowing robe, and his girdle around around with a girdle around his traps. And here he was standing there, and he had feet that were burned like fire. They were burnished brass. Glory to God. His voice was like many waters. It was the whole company of the bridegroom, the completed Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The in-Christed company standing there, and he fell down like he was dead. He passed out when he saw that scene. I'll tell you, I almost passed out myself when I saw it. And I began to look at that, and I thought to myself, what is this? What is this? And I looked back in 2 Thessalonians, and I began to find out that the day of the Lord is not going to come until there comes a great falling away first. And I thought, God, are you going to use tongues to separate those that are in and those that are out? He says, no, I'm going to use deliverance. Wouldn't that seem strange to you, to use deliverance? Well, glory to God. So what's God doing this day with us? What's He doing with us? I don't want to fall away. You don't want to fall away. None of us want to really fall away. We don't want to fall away from the things that God has given unto us. So what is He doing? Why, He's doing a deliverance inside of us. Praise be unto God. He's bringing us to a position in Him of where that we're being cleansed from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Hallelujah. Sure we are. We're being cleansed from all of this thing that is in the flesh and this thing that is in the spirit. I'm sick and tired of working the meeting up. I'm sick and tired of people saying, man, wasn't the Lord there? Well, where is He when He ain't? I'm tired of some of those things. I'm tired of these things, these games that we play. And we call it Christian. God, somehow or another, He holds His nose over the whole thing. He's interested in us, each of us, as an individual. He wants us to be His sons, and He wants us to be His daughters. And He wants us to be His habitation. He desires us to be that. But I'll tell you, God is not going to live in a dirty house. He's not going to. You know, I used to speak an evangelical United Brethren language. Some of you spoke other kinds. Isn't that true? That brother spoke a Baptist language, had water on the brain. But we learn how to speak all kinds of different languages, don't we? We know how to. That's why you're accepted. You wouldn't be accepted in the group that you're now with if you didn't speak their language. You start speaking another language, and I'll tell you, it's going to cost you your position. You've got to talk certain languages. But you know, we come down here, and all at once I got over into the charismatic move, and their language is, oh, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, praise God. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, except when it becomes empty. When we began to bring prophecies forth out of our own hearts that God has never ordained, but it is something that we learned how to do. And we learned how to concoct visions that will titillate and somehow or another scratch the ears and pat the backs of those people that will somehow or another grease our palms with the green stuff. We learned how to do it. But I'll tell you, God's learning us or teaching us how to undo it. Teaching us how to undo it. God is cleansing us from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 12th verse, it says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, See that none rendered evil for evil unto men, any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace, take all the earthiness completely out of you. Out of your spirit, out of your soul, and out of your body. Let it be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. That word sanctify there is a Greek participle, hagiidzomai. It's made up of two Greek words, ha, which is a double negative, which means no, no, and geo, which means no, no, earth. And the Lord is going to take all the earthiness, and he desires to take all the earthiness out of our spirits, out of our souls, and out of our bodies. And he wants to preserve us blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise is, faithful is he who invited you into this work, who will also sanctify you or cleanse you or take the earthiness out of you. Now, this isn't always the best and the most popular preaching that you can do, because most people don't want to be told and don't want to hear about the fact that there needs to come a cleansing work in their spirit, in their soul, and in their bodies. We've been talking a lot about it in the ways of deliverance. We've been talking about it in the ways of the cross. And that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to do that work unto us. He wants to cleanse us and sanctify us. And he wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we may stand holy before him right here upon the face of this earth. When God created man, well, this is spirit, soul, and body. When he created man, he created him in a Godward position, up. But man fell, and man fell downward, and he lost spiritual contact with the Lord God Almighty. And because he lost spiritual contact with him, man became very soulish and very fleshly, and the spirit was captivated in that place. And this is the picture of the natural man today. The man that has never been born again. The man that has never been contacted by God. He's never been contacted by the Holy Spirit. But here he is in a natural-minded position. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. All the things that are causing him to perish, if you say anything to him, it is all foolishness. Why? Simply because he's natural-minded. He doesn't receive the things of God. So what happens? God has sent men and women into this earth to proclaim the word of God with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now, the reason that I say that is this, is that the word has got to be anointed by the Holy Spirit in order for it to find its rightful place in the inward workings of man. If it isn't anointed of the Holy Spirit, it is not going to find its rightful position in the inward parts of man, and people are not going to be changed. They're just going to be connected with you. Jesus sat on the well one day with a woman from Samaria. And in John, the 4th chapter, in the 23rd verse, he said, "The hour now cometh and now is, when the true worshipers," which infers that there might be different kinds, "the hour now cometh and now is, when the true worshiper will worship God," where? "In spirit and in truth." And it says God is looking and hunting all over for those kind of worshipers. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is looking for that. He wants us to worship in him spirit. And I thought, how many of our meetings today that are done in the name of Jesus Christ are nothing more than bringing forth of the philosophies of men, the traditions of men, the vain deceit and the rudiments of this world? How many of these meetings? Why do we meet together? Why do we come together? What is there that forces us to come together? Some people say, well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And we feel like as if that scripture has got to be fulfilled. But why are we coming together? Are we coming together to please the authority of that church? that man-made authority? Are we coming together to please some part of our family? Are we coming together to make a big show? Or are we coming together to earnestly worship God in spirit and in truth? That every part of our footsteps when we break that door together and we come in is going to be to glorify the Lord God Almighty at all cost. Where is it going to be? See, what is it? What kind of worship are we having? Why did we come here to this camp? What was the reason behind us coming to this camp? See, campgrounds are all over the world. And the Ozarks got 9/10 of them. But why are we coming to this camp? Are we coming to please Glenn and Irma Miller? Simply because that they're our friends? Are we coming just to please someone else? Perhaps maybe Win Worley or Carol McCarroll or Ferris Miller because that we are the speakers of this camp? Are we coming together just to somehow or another please one another? Or do we come together to actually worship and praise God and to hear His voice and to see His presence and to see Him actually take things and turn them into His own use and into His own purpose? Why do we come together? Hebrews the 4th chapter says that the Word of God is quick. It's alive. Not my opinions about it. Not my stories about it. It says the Word of God. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy one day and he said, preach the word. He must have heard something about Timothy. To preach the word. Why? Because the word of God, it's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. Here comes the night. Here comes the Holy Ghost, and with the word preached and sent down from heaven, here comes the knife, and it comes down between the soul and the spirit, and it goes into the body, right down into the very joints and the marrow. And what does it do? It carves that spirit that has been captivated in that soulish, natural man, and it turns it up so that he can worship God in spirit and in truth. How's that going to happen? This man, once again, here he is. He has been born again. And the Spirit is bearing witness with his spirit that he is now a child of God. God has been looking for this man. God has been looking for this woman. God has been looking for this person. And all at once, here comes the Word. And it comes and is clothed with the power of the Holy Ghost. And the man's preaching the Word of God. And zoom, it comes. We don't see the transformation, but we see something happen in that person. All at once, that person stung by the Holy Spirit. Says, he's got me. I think he says that. We don't know. I don't know what happens. But I do know this. That when a man becomes conscious of the fact that he is lost, then he will try to find a Savior. Our problem today is most people don't realize they're lost. Why do we need a Savior? When we aren't lost. Things are easy. We get easy things to go by. We got lots of food. We got lots of things here in the United States of America. We got good bank accounts. We got our cars. We got our jobs. We got everything. Why do we need a Savior? We can save ourselves. And that's the way that we operate. Then along comes the Word of God, and it does its work down in here. Conscience. When a man finds out that God knows the same thing that he knows, it scares him. Why, sure it does. As long as I thought that God was way off somewhere and he was a mean old judge that hit you over the head once in a while with a sledgehammer, I felt safe. But when I found out he was down here walking around on earth, knew everything that I did, I got under conviction. Praise be unto God. And I'll tell you, we need some Holy Ghost preaching of the Word so that the convicting power will sting people right down in the very center of their being. Glory to God. You remember how these Pharisees brought this woman that was caught in adultery unto Jesus? Here they come marching in with her, and had one hand on her arms and on her garments, and the other hand they had their rock. Here stands Jesus. They said to him, Moses in his law says that a woman taken in adultery should be stoned, but what sayest thou? He just knelt down on the ground and he began to write with his finger. I don't know what he wrote. None of my business. I don't know what he wrote.
But I know this, that in John the 8th chapter, or in the 9th chapter, it tells us that they, being convicted by their conscience, began at the oldest man to the youngest. They all walked out. They had a kerplunk service. What did he write on the ground? I don't know what he wrote on the ground. He might have wrote Abraham, the oldest man, slept with this woman, May the 16th, 000, something. I don't know, but I've often wondered how those guys knew where she was. Amen. And we need to have some conscientious preaching. We need to have some preaching that stings people. Glory to God, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, there were men represented there from 17 different nations, and when God got a hold of their hearts, it says all at once they were pricked in their hearts. That word in the Greek is katanoukos, and it means stung. And we need some Holy Ghost stingers coming into the hearts and into the lives of people, that they will feel the sting of the Spirit of God upon them with the word sent down from heaven. Glory to God. So that we're conscious of the fact. Listen, if we're conscious of the fact that we are wrongdoing, then we can be conscious of the fact that the Spirit of God is now bearing witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. So that the Lord begins to reveal Himself. Revelation. People say, Revelation. Well, we get our revelation from the preacher and from our Sunday school teachers. Brother, sister, we don't have our own revelation from the Lord God Almighty of the power of Jesus Christ. There'll never be a vision created within you that will ever cause you to go on to become what God has called you to be. It's got to be an individual revelation to glorify God. Listen, I confess that I'm an overcomer. I confess that. I can see that. I heard that kind of teaching years ago. Praise be unto God. I also made the confession, you know, that I'm not going to die in the devil's timing. I'm only going to die in the Lord's timing. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Oh, I remember all those prophecies. We were headed over to India to preach over there in the Bangladesh, and they were having all those problems back there in those places. And everywhere we went, when people would find out we were going to India, we'd hear those prophecies coming forth. Thus saith the Lord, thou art going into the face of the enemy. Thou art tempting God. Thou shalt lose thy lives in the jungles of India. Well, here I are. Somebody missed something. Somewhere. On the Old Testament, we followed that line of teaching, we would have killed them. Sometimes we are born too soon or too late. Glory to God. But revelation, it's necessary for God to take the covers off of some things and begin to uncover these things and show them to the church, show them to us. Are you going to leave me in the dark all my life, Lord? No. He says, I'll show you things that you can contain them. He walked along with his disciples, and here he was clear down toward the end of his ministry in John the 16th chapter, and he says to them, I have many things that I want to say unto you, but you can't bear them right now. And I've wondered how many times the Lord has withheld things from me simply because I couldn't bear them right now. I wonder how many things He's withholding from the church today simply because we can't bear those things right now. The weight would put us down on our faces. We couldn't rise up to praise the Lord. Paul one day said in Galatians, the first chapter in the 11th verse, he says, the gospel, brethren, that I preached to you, I didn't receive it of men. He says, I wasn't even taught it by men. But he says, I received it by revelation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there's something alive in a message that has the revelation of God in it. Amen? There's something alive in a message that takes a hold of the things of God and has God in it right now for us. Where somehow or another we feel the divine presence of God moving up and down the aisles and speaking unto us. Praise be unto God. And the Lord, He gives us this revelation. Why? Simply that we can have fellowship with one another. I never had fellowship with God or with the saints
before February 17th, 1959 at 8:32 p.m. Never. I used to go to church. I used to open up one eye to see who they were talking to in prayer meeting. I never saw anybody. The reason I went over to church is because on Fridays we always had fish suppers to satisfy the Catholics. They would come. And chicken for the Jews. And we'd sneak ham in for the Gentiles. They called those fellowship suppers. Now that's what I liked about the church. And that's plain to see. But that was my fellowship. But all of a sudden, when we have fellowship with the Lord, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. The person says, oh boy, that's pretty good. But I'll tell you, the Lord has still got to deal with our souls. Why? Because we're not always wanting to do the will of the Lord. I know a lot of born-again people that have the witness of the Holy Spirit upon them. I even know a lot of Holy Ghost-filled people that have the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues every day. I know a lot of people that prophesy much, much, much. I know a lot of people that move in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you that they stay away from the will of God. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I've watched the ministry of Jesus Christ, and I used to marvel at it. He walked down to the pool of Bethesda. Instead of getting everybody up, he got up one man. He went to the graveyard, and instead of calling forth all the people, he called forth one. You ever notice how many one-on-one ministries that he has? But you ever notice how we like the bigger crowds? He never lifted up his voice in the street, but we always put up the banners, get our advertisements out. You know, what if the Holy Spirit would say, we don't want a meeting this week? What would happen? You know, what if God said, no? You know, I've often thought about Silas and Paul walking across the Anatolian Peninsula, and here they are going up and down those mountains, and all at once Paul says to Silas, they were all on fire for God and praying and praying in tongues and walking along that old dusty trail. And Paul says to Silas, let's go down to Asia and preach the gospel. And Silas says, yeah. He said, let's go down there and tear them up and cast out those demons and have a time in the Lord. They're walking along the path all at once. Silas says, Paul, I just got a check in my spirit. Paul says, what's the matter? Well, he says, you pray now. Paul says, yeah. He said, the Spirit just says we shouldn't go to Asia. So they turned around, went back. Well, you see, That's the advantage of not having a lot of literature out. But I'm saying, look at this. Here they were moving in the Spirit. I know a lot of people, you know, they never can find the will of God. They stay in their closet for 25 years. I know one fellow that got saved the same time I did. He's still in his closet. He says, I don't know God's will. I says, get out and do something. I said, what if you do it wrong? I said, if you're tuned with God, he'll tell you. Glory to God. Person said to me, I'm afraid to prophesy. I might prophesy wrong. I says, get up and say it backwards. God will honor you. Glory to God. There they were. They were going anyway. So they head down another road, and there they are. They're going along. Silas says, I think we ought to go to Bithynia. Paul says, that's a good idea. There's a path. Let's go. Here they are going down that path. All at once, another check in the Spirit. Glory to God. They both stop and pray. They turn around. And I've wondered about that. I thought to myself, has God got geographical locations in His mind? Does God care about geographical locations? What in the world? Why didn't God want Paul and Silas to go down there into Bithynia and preach the Word of God to those people? What do you think God knew? Why didn't he go down to Asia and preach that Word? God knew something, didn't He? I think that He does. Don't you all? I mean, you agree. I mean, well, there's several of you that agree. God knows some things. Praise be unto God. So what happened? They end up in Troas, and it says, the Greek word says, dianuktos, through the night. Paul, through the night, this vision, this man kept standing right in front of me. Come on over to Macedonia and help us. Come on over to Macedonia and help us. Why? That's where God's will was being done. Hallelujah. In Macedonia. Come on. God's will is being done. Praise be unto God. What's happening there? It's doing the will of God. Why? Because Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of the Father was not to be in Asia. The will of the Father was not to be in Bithynia. The will of the Father was to be in Troas, in that motel. Through the night, this man from Macedonia, come and help us. Come and help us. It was a setup. Listen, when you're in the will of God, you can sing when you're slung in prison. Who do you suppose that man was standing by the door when they threw him in? Same guy that stood there through the night. Paul says to Silas, that's the guy I saw in the vision. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. And about midnight, the whole outfit fell down. Why? Because that was a man in Macedonia that needed help. Why? And I'll tell you, you know, wouldn't it scary if we just said to you, we all already know everything that's going to happen in this meeting? God already told us. I already saw that fellow there standing right before me through the night, and the Lord told me that he was going to do an inner work in that fellow. Send him out into a foreign field wherein that he has called him. It was a desire in his heart years ago, but God has called him. He's going to move him out. But the Lord already said to us he was going to restore eardrums, and he was going to take the demons out of these people here and cleanse them and make them righteous right before the very eyes of the congregation. Well, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say in that day, why, didn't we prophesy in thy name, and didn't we cast out demons, and didn't we do mighty works? And he'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Where is the knowing of God? The knowing of God is in fellowship with him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. God deals with us on our will. What are you willing to do? How much am I willing to do? Am I willing to be in the will of God? Listen, brother, sister, we prayed a long time about this. Brother Glenn asked us, it's been months ago, about this meeting over in Paducah, Kentucky. We told him yes at that time, but I'll tell you, we got in our prayer closet and prayed about this thing, whether we should come down in here to the Ozarks or not. And I felt in my spirit it would be a blessing of God to come and have a glorious time with you people in the Ozarks from all over the state. Praise be unto God. And I'm glad I'm here tonight because I really feel the moving of the Holy Ghost. I feel God is stirring in a mighty way. Praise be unto God. So we're happy to be down here, or to be over here with you, not down here. I think we're just about even with you over in Knoxville, Tennessee. But praise be unto God. We're happy to be here with you people. Why? So that we can be right in the center of God's will. Why? So that we can have the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And he made of himself no reputation. How many of you have your reputation yet? He made himself of no reputation. That's letting the mind of Jesus Christ be in you. When you began to do the will of the Heavenly Father, you have the mind of Jesus Christ. And what does he do? He opens up the portals of heaven and he pours the love of God into your heart. Romans the 5th chapter in the 5th verse says, hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God pours it out. Well, what does love do? Love, perfect love, what does it do? It brings deliverance, doesn't it? Glory to God. When a person knows that they're in the will of God and they have the mind of Jesus Christ, God just takes the Holy Ghost and takes his fingers, opens up your heart, and pours you in a blessing you can't even contain. I remember years ago, I was standing up in Muncie, Indiana, and a man had just got out of Pendleton prison. He had been in several robberies, and he'd shot a man, but he spent his time, and he got saved in the prison while he was there. He came over to the church services that one night. He was standing there in the services, and the tears were rolling down his cheeks, and he was confessing Jesus as his Savior. And he got so filled up, he couldn't talk anymore, and he had his handkerchief, and he says, oh, glory to God. He says, my cup's running over, and I'm drinking out of the saucer.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need some of that. There's deliverance, isn't it? Perfect love casts out all fear. It doesn't leave one little bit in there at all. Why? Because God just fills us up to running over. Hallelujah. And our senses. In Jude, it tells us that in the last days, people are going to be sensual, having not the Holy Ghost. They're going to know how to clap their hands. They're going to know how to sing. They're going to know how to hold a charismatic meeting. They're going to know how to do it all. But they won't have the Holy Spirit. They got it in every place where they can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, and smell it. But they don't have the Holy Spirit. Now in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, in the 14th verse, it says, strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, who have their senses exercised to discern, not between, but discern both good and evil. Because evil is just the other side of the coin called good. God is not accepting good. God accepts righteousness, and that's the only thing that He accepts. That's all that He accepts. So that in this day in which that we're living now, you can do it Satanward. That's the wisdom which is from beneath. And that's what we're dealing with in this camp right now in deliverance. That there are people that have involved themselves in the wisdom that is of this world. The Bible tells us in James, the 1st chapter and the 5th verse, that if you lack wisdom, ask God. He's up above. Ask God. If you want the power to do wisely, ask God. But what's this other wisdom? Many people don't realize there's two kinds of wisdom. This other wisdom, turn with me, please, to James, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Why? This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it has these three characteristics. It's earthly. It's what? It's sensual. What else is it? It's demonic. It's demonic. That wisdom is from beneath. This is where we're dealing with people today. We're dealing in these areas. Now it says, where envy and strife is, or argument, there is confusion in every evil work. If it's there, if it's present, there's every evil work that is present there. That's why congregations of people have been infiltrated with all kinds of demonic spirits. Because they have involved themselves with this wisdom that cometh not down from above. But it's right here. It's right here. It says the wisdom that is from above has seven characteristics. It's peaceable. It's gentle. Well, first of all, it's pure. Then it's peaceable. Then it's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and it's without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom that comes down from above. But this other wisdom that is here upon the face of this earth, it's devilish. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. It's demonic. It's demonic. And people somehow or another today have connected themselves with all kinds of demon spirits, not knowing that they have associated themselves with these, and they've had fellowship with them right in their worship. Right in their worship, they've had fellowship with these spirits. I remember years ago that when I first came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some of the best friends I had and some of the people that I had led into a good, solid, born-again experience, and we called ourselves fundamentals, turned against me. And I'll tell you, I loved those people. But I never had such bitter words and bitter writings and things said about me in all my life. And I'll tell you, I let that thing get to me. Instead of turning to God, you know, and seeking that wisdom which cometh from above, I listened to the lies of the devil. And when I confronted one of these men that I really felt was one of my best friends, this man turned on me. And he not only turned on me, but he also said that the letter that he had written, he never wrote it. He said he never wrote that letter. And I'll tell you, it got to me so badly that I would walk the floor at night. And I know in the parsonage, my wife and I, she said, "What in the world is the matter with you?" But I couldn't sleep. And the devil was stealing my sleep. And you can't keep ministering in the power of the Lord if you're losing your sleep. I kept losing my sleep and losing my sleep and losing my sleep. And I got so discouraged. and was in such despair with a thing that I just couldn't lift that weight off of me at all. And I'll never forget, one day one of the fellows that I was associated with, Myron Euler, he said, "Brother Ferris," he said, "I'd like to have you go down to Tennessee, Georgia CFO camp." And that was in 1971. And I went down to Tennessee, Georgia CFO camp, and the first meeting I sat in was a fellow by the name of Dr. Derek Prince. But I remember how that he was preaching along, and I listened to him preach, you know, and I was running through things through my mind, and I listened to him begin to declare things of how that these demons would come out, and these demons would express themselves, and these demons would attach themselves, and I thought, man, he's got demon on the brain. I sat there, you know, and I listened to him. And all at once, he was talking about how that you could expel these by opening up your mouth and going, ha! And I thought, brother, this is getting richer than I thought. I was beginning to disbelieve everything that he was saying. But then he began to talk about how that he had had this spirit upon him, where that he had become so discouraged and he'd come under such despair that God, that the devil had taken sleep away from him. I began to set up, because you can identify with people that have like symptoms, right? Can't you? I set up and I listened to what he had to say, you know, and he kept on talking about this, and he said that he couldn't sleep and he walked the floors, and he said a little Baptist preacher, I don't know where this Baptist preacher came from, but I think it was Norm Parrish's father, they heard this man preach one time and saw him take another woman through deliverance. And he said he went through deliverance, and he said that he opened up his mouth and expelled. And I know that the word expel is ekbalo, and it means to outcast or to cast out. And when he said, like that, I know that breath and pneuma and wind, all these things are in spirit, you can equate them all together in one spot. And I thought, if a Holy Spirit can come into you by opening up your mouth, a dirty spirit can come into you by opening up your mouth. And if it comes in by opening up your mouth, it can go out the same way. Hallelujah. And I began to listen to what he had to say, and I thought, praise be unto God, maybe there is something in this. And I listened with an attentiveness to what he had to say, and I thought, I looked all around, nobody knew me. You're always safer then. It's easier to be humble in a camp meeting where nobody knows you. Why don't somebody shout amen? You afraid of? Glory to God. I said, it's easier to be humble, you know, in a camp meeting away from your own home church and everybody else that knows you. Yes. Praise God. And there I sat, you know, and here this whole auditorium was filled up. And he said, well, I'm going to take all you people that want to. He said, I want you to stay here. He said, the rest of you are dismissed. Nobody left. People came in. I was sitting over here on a table. There was a fine lady sitting next to me. She belonged to the United Methodist Church. She had a purple outfit. Beautiful looking outfit. Purple hat and a nice purple feather. You know, I remember that thing floating in the breeze back and forth. You know, I was sitting there looking at it. He gets up there in front, you know, and he said, now, he said, I'm going to take you people through prayer. And he says, after I get through praying, he says, you pray. He says, I don't even want you to open up your mouth and say Jesus, because if you do, he says, that word Jesus is so strong in your lips, he says, those demons won't even come past your lips. He says, you let me do the work. And he says, you let the people that have already been authorized to do the deliverance. I thought, fair enough. Passed out napkins. I never heard of such a funny thing in all my life. But I looked around and there still wasn't anybody in there that I knew. So why not? So he takes us down through this prayer. I get in this prayer with, you know, and I prayed the prayer. He says, now, all right, now. He says, if you want to get rid of it, expel. And the thing that was on me was this heavy spirit. This heavy spirit. And he nailed it down with Isaiah, the 61st chapter in the 3rd verse, where it says, I will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Well, I've lost the garment of praise. I couldn't praise God. Oh, I could put on a good act. But I mean, I couldn't really praise God. You know, it's hard to dance and praise the Lord and everything when you're gritting your teeth. I mean, there's 4 or 5 of you that know that. So here I am sitting on this table in this purple feather floating up there close to me. And he says, he took us down there and he says, expel. Ha! 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 And I felt something break. I felt something loosen up inside. Boy, he says, if you're free, throw your hands up in the air, praise God. I praised God, I threw my hand up in the air, and I thought everybody was free, and all at once, that woman with that purple feather, she went,
I unrolled right underneath the table. I pulled my feet up on a table, you know. And I was looking underneath the table, and there that nice Methodist lady was with a spit running out of her mouth, and she rolled in her hat and rolled all over in that spit. I thought, good heavens, I'd accepted her in my church as a member. Derek Prince says, don't get down. I said, don't worry. Well, I was on that table to stay, boy. Listen. About that time, a girl over there that looked like she'd been in a hippie camp, she let out a siren yell. Well, five chairs went flying backward. You know, I'm telling you the truth. My eyeballs were sticking clear out of my head. I never even blinked my eyes because I had never seen a service like this in my life. And here was this man standing up in front. Man, I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord, God, what is this? Is this something new? What is it, God? I was doing everything I could. That was my taste of deliverance. Brother, sister, I sat in every one of those meetings. From there on, I learned as much as I could, because when I got back to the church, I could just see. I had an old sister that had been with that jealous spirit sitting on that organ bench for 15 years. She had a jealous spirit, but we had to condone the dumb thing because I didn't know it was a spirit. I thought it was just old Rose, you know. She was always like that. Anybody ever touch that organ? Oh, you can't touch that woman like that. But I couldn't wait. I was ready to fight that demon, boy. When I got back there, I was going to cast that spirit of jealousy right out of old Rose. Well, I never got it done, but she left the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. I went back. I didn't know anything about it, but I started right in like I did. Had a great big deliverance service. There were about 400 people. And a church only held 264. Imagine how packed we were. There they all were. And little old Steve Salt, he only weighed about 90 pounds soaking wet. When I gave that command for them to expel, Steve come right over the top of the pew. Kapunk on his head. He was flipping out there in the aisle back and forth. One man grabbed him and he threw that man down. Another guy grabbed him and he threw him down. Six of our big men couldn't hold him at all. And I sure wasn't getting out there. And did we get a name for ourselves? It went around the whole neighborhood that we had vomit buckets at the end of every pew. And that Brother Miller was now putting demons in paper sacks. And they were taking them home and burning them in their fireplaces. But let me tell you that we began to see freedom come. We began to see freedom come in the congregation. God showed me. I began to search it into those spirits. And I went back into there and I remember I wrote those things in the front of my Bible. There's 22 of them that are named in the scriptures themselves in a lot of different variations. And I went down through those scriptures and I seen a familiar spirit and I saw a jealous spirit, an evil spirit, a sorrowful spirit, a lying spirit, and a proud spirit, an Egyptian spirit, a perverse spirit, a spirit of heaviness, a religious spirit, an unclean spirit, a dumb spirit, a foul spirit, an infirm spirit, a divination spirit, a spirit of slumber, a worldly spirit, a filthy spirit, a disobedient spirit, an antichrist spirit, a spirit of error, and a spirit of fear. 22 different spirits. I saw it out of the scriptures. And I began to see how those things attached themselves unto Christians. And the church had turned her eyes away from that kind of thing. Why? Because we didn't know what to do with it. This poor guy, you know, that every time he turned around, here he was trying to be a Christian, but every time he turned around, he couldn't help from telling a dirty story. A filthy spirit. Just about everybody had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We couldn't figure out why that other 10 couldn't get it. And they tried, and they tried, and they tried, and they tried. And finally we nailed it down. It was an antichrist spirit. And when we deal with that antichrist spirit, here they come. Glory to God. Right straight on through. Delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Praise be unto God. We began to see things happen there. I remember how that years ago, you know, I went back and I searched out what a familiar spirit with. That's a spirit that follows a family. You know the spirit that followed our family? Sugar diabetes. It killed my great-grandfather. It killed my grandmother. My grandmother died in my bed. It killed my granddad. It killed my aunt, my two aunts and my uncle. Two uncles I had died with sugar diabetes. And I remember how that my mother used to open the door for the satanic attack to us kids as we sat around the table. Grandma lived with us.
And she kept telling us, don't eat too much sugar now, you'll get sugar diabetes. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Don't eat too much sugar. You're going to get sugar diabetes. Got up, got married, got away from the house every time I see my mother. Have you got sugar diabetes yet? Everybody else has. My mother's got it. My brother's got it. My two sisters have got it. I haven't got it, and I will never have it. Hallelujah. I'm not accepting that familiar spirit. Arthur Coleman, a big colored man from out in the east, came down to Tennessee, Georgia CFO camp, and I was working with Derek Prince the next year in deliverance myself and taking about 150 to 200 deliverance. That's when I was working with Brother Glenn here. This big colored man came up there, and I walked up to him, and I said, Brother, whatever you can believe God for, he's going to set you free right now. And I laid hands on him and began to speak in tongues. And I didn't know that he had sugar diabetes. And he was taking the most insulin that you could possibly pump into your legs. And his legs had turned like leather because of that needle. God set him free. He never said a word to me about it. But he went in the next year. He came back and he looked at me and he says, you remember me? I said, yes, I do remember you. He says, do you know what happened to me? And he began to tell me. He said, I went home. And he says, I went to the doctor. And he says, they checked me. And he says, there is not one bit of sugar in my blood or in my urine. We began working on those old spirits of hyperglycemia. Cast them out. The glory of God. Listen, brother, sister, we began to see how that cancer was a demon. And we began to deal with those cancerous demons in people. There's cancer demons that follow people. Follow family lines. Whole families have died because of cancer. And everybody in the family, all the women are always feeling to see if they've got lumps. And every time they go to the doctor, they'll stand up in the church and say, oh, pray for me, I'm going to have an examination. And you know, they've already opened the door to that demon spirit. Brother, sister, it's time for us to rise up against those old familiar spirits. There's heart attacks that come against people. Heart attacks, familiar spirits that come against people. Listen, brother, sister, be like me. Don't die until your appointment. Hallelujah. I haven't got hyperglycemia. I don't have sugar diabetes. I don't have a heart attack. I'm not even overweight. It's all according to the way you look at it. I'm just pleasingly plump. You know, the last time I went to get my pilot's license, the doctor said to me, he says, sit down, I'm going to preach you a sermon. He says, you need to lose weight. I said, if God wanted you to smoke, he'd have put a chimney on you, brother. He says, you better lose weight. He says, you're going to die of a heart attack. I says, you're a liar. He doesn't know what I know. I'm not dying of any heart attack. I'm not dying of anything. I'm going to die healthy. Can you see what the Lord is doing? Can you? He's building us into a complete and perfect man. That's what he's doing. He's getting us ready for the fire, brother, sister. Footmen, where are you? What are you going to do when the horsemen get here? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get an acceleration of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to outrun the horses. I'm going to have an Elijah run. All right, let me say something to you here this evening. Now, we've come down here. You've heard Brother Worley preach. You've heard me bring the Word of God to you. Some of you have connected and associated yourself with some familiar spirits here tonight. I know you did. Tonight's the night. Tonight's the night to nail it and be all done with it. Things that have been put on you because way back in your childhood someplace, mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or uncle or aunt placed that thing right upon you. And you accepted it because, well, that just runs in our family. And the devil's got a thing running through a lot of families. Brother Gardner walked up to me today. I couldn't remember him, but he said he'd remember me. He said, last time I saw you, he says you was a straddle of a young boy right down there in the auditorium. He says, commanding a demon out of you, Tennessee, Georgia, CFO camp. And I remember that young chap. Derek Prince had given the command, and I was standing in the back. I saw a body go up in the air over the top of the people like that. And when it came down, I saw the altar in the front of that auditorium be kicked right over, and I'll tell you, it took about 4 or 5 men to put that altar up there. And he kicked it right over with his feet. And he was throwing men around there on the floor like popcorn balls, and I said, get back. I said, get away from him, let him go. I said, just let him here for a minute. I said, I'll show you. And I commanded him, I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to lay still. And he laid still. And we began to work on him.
And there were all kinds of things and deliverances that were, there were all kinds of spirits that were coming out of him. And it got later and later and later. And down there they had a schedule to keep. You had to get out of that particular building because they were coming in with another ministry. So here it was almost time for the other people to start coming in and the other ministry to start. And Derek says, why don't you take him over to one of the cottages? So I said, okay. So Myra and Order and myself and another Presbyterian preacher, spirit-filled Presbyterian preacher, we started out the door with him. We got him out on the lawn. We got down in that cottage with that boy, and we worked with him and worked with him, and we couldn't get him delivered. We had him down there on his hands and knees on the floor, and he was over, and here he was, and he had great big long hair, you know, that hung down there almost to the floor. And he was coughing and choking, and he was having a time, and we came to a place where we couldn't get him delivered. So I went over to the corner of the building, and I said, Lord God, I said, we got to have discernment of what that spirit is. And the Lord just pressed on my heart an effeminate spirit. I walked back over there, and I said, you effeminate spirit, I bind you in the name of Jesus. He stopped all his contortions, and he got up and sat down in the chair, and he crossed his legs like a woman would cross her legs, and he started drawing his hands up and down his legs, and a woman's voice started speaking out of him, and both of us preachers jumped back. I didn't know they had different voices. This woman's voice spoke out of him and said, I've had this body all of his life, and I'm not going to leave it. And for a minute, I was speechless. I said, you, Jezebel. That's what I thought of. You, Jezebel, you're coming out of there in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you, that thing began to fight us and began to fight us. And again, he went down on his hands and knees. And when he did, he was yelling, it's in my fingernails. He said, it's in my legs. It's in my back. Oh, he said, it's in my eyebrows. He said, it's in my lips. Oh, he said, it's in my hair. And he just pulled his hair. I said, Myron, have you got any spirit? He says, yeah. I said, run, get him. He come back with these little kids' pasting shears. I took those things and I took that kid just like a sheep. And I sheared him a lock at a time. And I'll tell you, when that last lock dropped off his head, he come up completely freed. I got up in Marion, Indiana, and they had me speak to the college boys. There they were with their hair braided and all put up in curls. Guess what I preached on? It's a shame. Nature teaches that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I said, boys, if nature teaches us that, what do you think God thinks about it? Three or four of them jumped up and run upstairs. Left. One boy got up and came up to me after the message, and he said, brother, he says, I don't know who you are, but he says, you sure got guts. He says, and I'm glad you said it like it is. He says, I'm going to have my hair cut. He says, I'm going to be a man. Praise be unto God. And he led the whole troop out. And I went back the next week, and there they all were, a group of men. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Listen, brother, sister, I'll tell you, this day in which that we're living right now, God is cleansing us to the uttermost. He's setting us free. Praise be unto God. Those that will accept it. See, we're in the last part of tomorrow. It's still that you can tell Herod, that old fox, I cast out demons and do cures today and tomorrow, but the third day I'll be perfected. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. You folks here tonight that need ministry for cleansing of the spirit or the flesh, that's what we came to camp for. We're prepared to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Those of you who need that ministry, you come right down here to the front of the church, the front of the sanctuary here. You stand here and we'll minister to you the best of our ability to help you get free. The Lord wants to take the earthiness out of your spirit, out of your soul, and out of your body. He wants to cleanse us from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Holiness in Jesus Christ, in the Lord. Hallelujah. So while we're standing right here in these last few moments, why don't you just ask the Lord? If he's already spoken to you and you need help tonight, we're ready to give you that help in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be. How about it? You think about those spirits that we were talking about. They're real. They're really real. I thought you know when I hit that spirit of jealousy. It's a bad spirit, isn't it? You lead a person right up. And everybody that's around them. It's a terrible thing. I tell you, I've seen that spirit following families also. I believe the Lord wants to set us free. Hallelujah. You come. We got plenty of helpers here tonight. Plenty of people that know how to get you free. How many of you here tonight have come just for sugar diabetes alone? How many of you? Okay. Is that a familiar spirit that follows your family? Okay. You too. Do you have sugar? Heart attacks and cancer. I want you people that are here for a familiar spirit, just raise your hand up in the air. No matter what it may be, a familiar spirit. If you'll just come right over here. Come right over here because we're going to work with you individually, the others of you. So those of you that would have a familiar spirit that we're going to deal with right here, I'm going to deal with you in a group on that familiar spirit. All right, now I'm going to... I'm going to pray for you, and then when we get through praying for you, I want you to follow me in prayer. And when we get to the end of the prayer and I ask you to expel, lean right over and just expel. Cast right out, right into that napkin that you have there, and just let it go. And do this until that you really feel a release in your spirit, because we'll deal with you. There's others here that will minister to you, and we'll deal with you. That the Lord will set you free. We're going to believe God to break the power of that familiar spirit. The spirit that has followed your family. We're going to believe that. All right, let's all just bow our heads for a moment. We're going to pray. And then we're going to ask these people to pray with us in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise thy precious holy name. That the same power that parted the Red Sea, that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is available to each and every one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. We're believing you tonight, Lord, as we stand in Jesus' name. Thou art going to set these captives free. Those that have been captivated by these familiar spirits in the name of Jesus. A spirit of cancer. That spirit of heart attack. That spirit of sugar diabetes. That spirit of hyperglycemia. We're binding those spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're casting them away. From these people. We command you, Satan, that you shall not hurt them. They shall leave their bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And leave their spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people shall be free in Jesus. For we know that in Mount Zion there is deliverance. Then there is holiness. Then the house of Jacob possesses its possessions in Jesus' name. All right, now follow me in prayer. Jesus, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Messiah manifested in the flesh. Manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And to take away my sins. I confess all my sins. I forgive all others. Especially those that have harmed me. And those that have provoked me. I am justified by faith. I am redeemed by the blood. I am sanctified by the Spirit. I am redeemed. I call upon you, Lord, as my deliverer. You know this familiar spirit. This one that has been binding me. All right, name it, whatever it is, heart attack or... That's it, name it right out loud. Name it right out. All right, now keep on following me. I hate this thing. I command it to leave my body. In the name of Jesus, I expel it. Expel it now. Kuramahashandarakaya lahosavaramata ilastaha.
The minute you feel freedom, throw your hands up over your head and start praying in the Spirit. Some of you women that know how to deal in deliverance, come right over here. There's a lady right over here. I'd like to have you work with her, please.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.